She told me she... All right. How many do not have a New Testament like this? Okay. I need somebody to go upstairs. I've got a gob of New Testaments up there. Go. All right. Not voting, just go, amen? So,
all right.
Tonight I want to talk to you, and I want to give you some information that's really on my heart. And I think it goes along with our theme about being real. If you're a Christian, you don't want to just keep it to yourself. You want other people to know about Jesus Christ. Here's a terrible thing. I was a pastor of the Delavan Baptist Church, and a lady every Wednesday night during prayer request would ask for prayer for her husband. Okay, who does not have one? Raise your hand. Just pass them out, brother. Help, guys. Come on. Help. Just grab some and pass them out. Amen. That's right. If you need a new one, raise your hand. We'll give you a brand new one. Amen. Every man ought to have one in his back pocket all the time. This is one I carry. I blew one out the other day, and this is a new one. I don't even have this one marked yet. I mark all my New Testaments. I have one that had John Rice's name in it and Jack Hiles' name in it. And boy, I feel pretty. My wife washed one. I think she washed two. And I've always kept a New Testament in my back pocket. Please grab one. There's plenty of them. Just please have one. I want you to have one. Everybody ought to have one. Even your little kids ought to have one. So this is free. Amen. Grab it. I like going to dinner places. You know, my wife said, well, I don't want that. I said, take it anyway. I'll eat it. Don't tell nobody. Just take it. They come out with an ice cream cone and she says, well, I really don't have to. Shut up, man. You mean that? You want that? Yes, you do. Would you like a piece of pie? No, I don't. Yes, you do want a pie. And you can tell I've always done that for the longest time. All right. Anybody else need one? Raise your hand. All right, everybody's got a New Testament. I want to show you how to lead somebody to Jesus Christ. Years ago, I was a pastor of the Delavan Baptist Church. I was a young preacher, about 22, 23 years old. And my cousin sent me to pastor school. That had to be in 1970, 71. And Dr. Jack Hiles, probably one of his greatest... how can I say, encourager to people to win souls than I'd ever met in my life. And he said, okay, all right, everybody get your Bible out or get your New Testament. I'm going to show you how to make the Romans Road. He said, it's a map. It's a way that you can get people to come to Jesus Christ. And he would start out Romans chapter 3, verse 10. Romans 3, 20, 10. Can you read that? Yeah. Who said no?
Jerry.
Well, if you'd sit in the back, no wonder. Guys with bad eyes ought to be sitting in the front, amen. You ought to learn that in elementary school. But anyway, can you see it? Romans 3:10? How many cannot see that? All right, Romans 3:10. So, you take your New Testament, and you go to Romans... Where's your New Testament? Do you have one? Oh, I'm glad. Look, people are looking at you. You're supposed to be an example to set the example. You should have had Brother Jim give you one, at least write one out. Romans chapter 3:10. How many found it in your New Testament? It is in there. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, okay? Thank you, Jim. I really appreciate that, this derelict up here.
She gives you white, man.
Yeah, thank you very much. All right, Romans chapter... You want me to open it for you? Do you have a pen?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Romans chapter 3:10. You're going to put a number 1 there. Right by Romans... Now, don't do it messy. Do it real careful in your New Testament. Romans chapter 3 and verse 10. Right by the 3:10. And circle what I do... What I've done in my New Testament... I circle this. I don't draw the line to it. Now, some guys draw a line to it. Through, as it is written, there's none like it, no, not one. I don't do that. I just circle the one, and I put one here. Because I'm going someplace. Because the next verse I'm going to go to is number two, and I'm going to put there in Romans 3:23. Okay, and at 23, I'm going to circle like that. And I'm going to put a 2 right by that, okay? Okay, so the first one is Romans what? 3:10. Next one? 3:23. And I'm going to put that in my Bible. I'm going to make sure I have that there. Then I'm going to go over to 5:12. This is the only kind of the only one that gets out of sync, but it's Romans 5:12. And I'm going to put a 3 there. Have you done it? How are you doing it? All right. Then I'm going to go put a 4 next to 6:23. And at that 23, on that mark on that New Testament, I'm going to circle 23, and I'm going to put a 4 there. So there's one verse I need to know. And what is that one verse? Romans 3:10. Right here. As it is written. I'm heading for that. That's the first one. I'm drawing me a road map. Okay, you go down to this road, and on 10th, you take a right. When you get down to the 25th on 10th, you take a left. And then when you get to 25th, you take a right on 11th. Okay, I'm trying to get you someplace, all right? So, Romans chapter 3:10, number 1. Romans chapter 3:23, number 2. Romans chapter 5:12, number 3. Romans chapter 6, verse 23, 4. Then the fifth one, you're going to go back to 5:8. That's where God committed us His love. God unbelievably showed His love for mankind. Now, what did He do? He died on the cross, right? And then number 6, Romans 10:13. Now, if I can get you to learn Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, I can have you be able to lead someone to Jesus Christ. Very simple. And then, of course, we're going to go to... And you're at 6, so you don't really need to mark your Bible anymore, but you're going to go to 9 and 10. And then you're going to go over to, I would make my 7, I'd go to 1 John 5, 10 through 14. That would be my 7. Now, here's the point you got to do. When you're in the 1s and 2s and 3s and 4s and 5s, you're pretty much where you go. But what you need to do is right next to this, next to your 6 is 1 John, real small, 5:10. Write that real small. These I underline. 1 John chapter 5, verse 10, 11, 12, and 13, 14, I underline. Okay, now we're gonna try to get you to go here, and I want you to just, how many is pretty much ready there? Okay, I'm gonna give you some information that I think will really help you, alright? First of all, we are commanded to tell people about Jesus Christ. Amen? That's our job. As long as God gives you breath to breathe, you are here for a purpose, and that is glorify the Heavenly Father. There is no greater way in the world you can glorify the Heavenly Father is to get a person to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. There is nothing else in this world you can do better. You can't raise kids better. You can't become a great preacher better. The greatest thing a man will ever do is lead somebody to Jesus Christ. Listen to me now. I'm telling you the truth. Let's be real. The greatest thing. Now, if this is the greatest thing that mankind can do and mankind's opportunity to do, who do you think is going to do everything he can to keep you from doing that? Satan, you're going to do it. I mean, you're going to get sick babies, you're going to get sick husband, you're going to get sick wife, your car's going to break down. You name it, it's going to happen to you. Now remember, greater is he that is in it than he that is in the world. We're not to battle Satan. We're to go to God and say, "Dear God, in the name of the blood of Jesus Christ, Satan, get behind me." That's our job. Quote scriptures. He hates scripture quoted because scriptures are truth, and he hates anything that has truth in it. So if I can get you to lead people to Jesus Christ, I'm doing my job as a pastor, passing on that somebody led me to Jesus Christ. Someone did their job when I got saved. Someone did their job when you got saved. How many were led to the Lord by a soul winner in this church? I mean, someone just came to see him, all right? Only one? Two? Okay. All of you, how many got saved in church? You came to church, you got saved. Okay. How many got saved at camp? How many got saved at Vacation Bible School? Marcia? There you go. How many got saved by your mommy or daddy at home? Praise the Lord about that. Amen. All right. All right. So, we have a job to do. If we don't do the job, what happens? If a plumber makes a mistake, you got a mess. Oh, some of you think, "Oh man, I've got a bad thought in my mind." When a financier makes a mistake, people lose money. When a doctor makes a mistake, the patient may die. But when a soul winner makes a mistake, that mistake goes to hell and burns there forever. Sounds like a pretty great responsibility, amen? I hope tonight I can help you a little bit here. First of all, keep good records when you're soul winning. Keep good records when you're soul winning. Go ahead, Mike. I have a ring notebook I carry with me all the time, except right now, of course. I pulled some things out of my pocket up in my office. Anyway, you ought to keep notes. On my ring notebook, everything I do is written down. But on the back of that notebook, if you find it, find on the back of it is people that I'm talking to. The other day I was at Perkins eating dinner with my wife, and here a young lady says, "Hi, Pastor Shearer," and I'm in total shock because I'm not thinking. I looked to these people and said, you know, hi to them, you know, and I didn't think much about it. And the lady finally says, "Hello, Pastor Shearer." Kind of, I said, and people know me. I've been here for almost 31 years. They know me. And two reasons. One, I'm the pastor of Heritage Baptist Church. Or two, I'm the chaplain for Cass City County Sheriff's Office. So I meet a lot of people that I don't come in contact a lot with. And I said, "Hi, how are you?" She says, "I'm Jill Osterman, and I live next to Heather." I said, "Oh," she said, "we came to your church a while back and we really enjoyed it." I said, "Good." I said, "Why haven't you come back?" And I give it to her, amen. And but on the back of my deal, I wrote down Jill Osterman. I'm going to pray for her. I'm going to pray for her boyfriend. Pray for her little boy, amen. But on that book, when I lead somebody to Jesus Christ, I put their name, when I've led them to the Lord, on the date, because on the front of it, but on the back, I write their name down, get their address and everything like that. You ought to do that. You ought to keep records of people you led to the Lord. Won't it be a wonderful thing when you get to heaven, you've got records of those you led to the Lord? Number two, have a definite time to go. I know for some of you, this makes it difficult. Every Saturday at 10:30, Heritage Baptist Church goes soul winning. Every Saturday. For some of you, it's very difficult for you to go on a Saturday. Maybe you work. Maybe you have some personal problems at home with your family. You just can't get out at that time of the day. But there ought to be a time that you say, I've set aside this an hour and a half of my week to go soul winning. I'm going to go and tell people about Jesus Christ. We're finding it really, really interesting thing that you people that you know, you stop in to see them and start talking about Jesus Christ. You ought to have a definite. Number one. Number three, be soul conscious. So number one, keep records of your soul winning. If you want to write it, if you want to chicken scratch it, but S/W, soul winning, all right? Keep records of your soul winning. Number two, have a definite time to go. This is when I'm going soul winning. Nothing gets in the way of that. Number three, be soul conscious. Be soul conscious. Everybody's got a soul. There are two places man goes. Either goes to heaven or goes to hell. Either a missionary or a mission field. Either you're a saint or you're an ain't. Everybody has a soul. Friday night, family came to our church. Fellow been here before. Talked to him about the Lord. He's saved. When he's walking out, he walked out, and my wife almost went crazy on me, started crying, and she said, he's not saved! She's soul conscious. Talk to Miss Sherry. Miss Sherry worked with my wife up at the Benefice West, at the campus over there when she was in rehab. How many times did my wife say? Every time she meets somebody, she says, you need to talk to her, and tears come to her. She's soul conscious. Soul conscious. You ought to be soul conscious. You ought to be thinking, is that person going to hell or not? And if I'm thinking of that, then I'm going to ask the man, hey, can I ask you a personal question? If you die today, you go to heaven. You ought to be doing that all the time. You ought to be soul conscious. Number four, carry a New Testament. Carry a New Testament. Always, I am naked without this in my back pocket. I want my New Testament in my back pocket. I never know when there will be a time that I can talk to someone about Jesus Christ and I have the Word of God in my hand. I come up to someone and I say, hey, how you doing, man? Good to see you. Can I ask a personal question? You died today. Are you 100% sure you go to heaven or you doubt it a little bit? You're 100%. Well, if he would have said, I doubt it. I'm glad you're 100% since you're a preacher here. Amen. I would say, hey, you got about 2 or 3 minutes. I can show you from the Word of God. Would you let me do that? I don't know how many times I've done that, and very few times. One time I was out hunting. I had my 300 Winchester Magnum walking through the woods. Hadn't seen anybody. And here's a guy. He's sitting on this stump. I said, hey, how you doing? Good. We talked a little bit. I said, hey, let me ask you a question. If you died today, would you go to heaven? He said, why? That's not a good approach. In hospitals, I never ask someone who was in the hospital, but if you die today, they'll say, Reverend, what did the doctor tell you? So I'll ask him, do you have a home in heaven? And you got to be very careful about your approach there, amen. So always be soul conscious. Everybody has a soul. Talk to everyone you see about his or her soul. Number four, carry a New Testament. Number five, be clean and neat. That means, and sometimes you've had that a long time, it'd be best you say to your wife, honey, do I smell good? No. Be clean and neat. Cleanliness is next to, that's not in the Bible, I just thought I'd tell you there. But it's a good idea. Be clean and neat. Watch three things. Body odor, your dress, and your breath. Always carry mints. These are pretty good mints. You want to try one? I thought you needed one, amen. You need one? All right. Carry mittens in your pocket. Carry something. Don't chew gum. You look like a cow. Come on, don't chew gum. We tell our people in the choir, don't chew gum. No, don't chew gum. That's not good. That's not proper, amen. Don't chew gum when you're talking to people about Jesus, amen. This is a very big deal. Dress nicely. Bathe regularly. That'd help. A little bit of soap never hurt nobody. Amen. All right. Number six, go two by two. Go two by two. That's how Jesus told him to go. Go two by four, two. Always have somebody with you. There's a couple of reasons. Number one, it's good that if somebody said something bad about you, you've got a witness with you. Hey, who hates soul winning? Satan hates soul winning. What is the greatest thing a person, a Christian can do? Go soul winning. What do you think Satan's going to do? I heard Dr. Jack Hiles talking about the time he was out soul winning. And he knocked on a door. He said the lady came to the door very lightly clad. In other words, she didn't have much clothes on. And she opened the door and said, come in. And when she opened the door, he stepped back. She fell. And he let her go. And somebody out of the weeds, out of the bushes, snapped a picture of it. What were they trying to do? Now, he said, I never go in unless there's a man in that house. Never, 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 never. And he said, I'm very careful about that. And if you're going to fall out of the door towards me, you're going to fall on your face, amen. And I'll God bless you as you go down, amen. I'm telling you, we live in a wicked world. And anything that they can get on the church, they'll grab. We have enough problems right now with the immorality of the Catholic Church and the things that are going on there, as well as the Baptist Church and Pentecostal Church, you name it. I don't know what's going on in the world, but I'll tell you what, preachers are falling left and right. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't want to be caught in that. And so you go two by two. In the two by two, under that, two by two, numbers, I think that's number six, right? Go two by number six. One do the talking, and one be the silent partner. When I'm talking to somebody, don't you butt in and say, oh yeah, preacher, this and this. And when you're talking, I'm not going to butt in on you. By the way, Jesus had silent partners. When Jesus went to the, speaking to the woman at the well, you remember that? And the disciples came up and they thought, what's he talking to one of those Samaritan women? But they didn't say nothing. They were silent. And she got saved. And half of the city got saved because of that. And they were silent. They were quiet. The silent partner should be praying. If this is the greatest thing that God wants us to do, guess what God has given to us? The Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is there with us. That person is not going to get saved unless the Holy Spirit works in their heart and their life. You understand that, right? Old Joe Boyd, great old preacher, one night he was preaching away and someone said, hey, Joe, I seen one of your converts last night that got saved. They're down at the bar this morning. He said, yep, must have been one of my converts, because if it was Jesus' converts, they wouldn't be there. Go two by two. The silent partner is praying. The silent partner is running defense. When the little kid comes around and you're just about to lead mama to the Lord, little kid comes, mommy, 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 I want a drink. You say, can I get a drink for him? Usually the mother says, sure. Or the baby's crying. And you learn to do this thing, you know. You're trying to get somebody saved. Let me ask you this. When they die, and they appear before God, do you think they're going to be glad that you took care of their kid? Or took the beans off the stove that were burning? Or play with the little kids? Play a little ball with them or something while mommy or daddy's getting saved? Don't you think that's important? Somebody said, well, I don't want to be a silent partner. Well, there, you can be the idiot about other things too, you know. It's a wonderful thing to have a silent partner. Number 7, claim the fullness of the Holy Ghost. I alluded to that a little bit. Claim the fullness to the Holy Ghost. God, I am doing God, I'm doing what you told me to do. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. I'm doing what you told. Holy Spirit, help me. Claim the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Number 7. Number 8, go believing. Expect to win someone. When I go fishing, I am going fishing to catch fish. I'm not going there to listen to the water in the brook. I'm not going there to see all the birdies, though I enjoy that. I'm not going there for the boat ride, though I enjoy that. I am going there to bring home some fish. And if you said, hey, you want to go fishing? I am coming to catch fish. My buddy Jim Holloman said, ah, preacher, I just go to sit and enjoy the weather. I said, fine. I ain't going that way. That's like, you know, people talk about working out. I call working out, grab a gun and go head up to the mountains. That's good working out. Or grab a fishing pole. You got something to do. I just can't see running on a treadmill. Just running on a treadmill. Now, you can tell it. I believe in that. Amen. But go believe it. I'm going to win somebody to Jesus Christ. I'm doing the greatest commandment Jesus Christ ever gave me. And it's the simplest commandment God ever gave me, to love someone to Jesus. Number 9, go with different people. Soul winning. Go with different people. Don't always go with the same person. May I suggest to you, if you find a new Christian and they want to go soul winning, take them for about 3 months. And then they should be able to know how to win a soul because they've watched you, they've been the silent part, and then send them with somebody else. That's a novel idea. Go with somebody else. Number 10, be courteous, kind, and gentle. And nice. Be nice and kind and gentle. Hi, I'm Pastor Shearer, and this is Brother Rick Kamoner. We're just stopping in from Heritage Baptist Church. Number 1, I am going to announce who I'm with. I'm not a Mormon. I'm not a Jehovah's Witness. I am from the Heritage Baptist Church. And they say, we don't want none of them. And I say, I'm not here to bother you. I just want to make sure that you're on your way to heaven. None of your business! I'm sorry to bother you. Will you forgive me? Can I have a word of prayer? No! Get off my porch! Okay, I will. And I walk out of the porch. By the way, they just damned their soul to hell. And they will remember that at the judgment seat of Christ. They'll remember, it's a great white throne judgment. They'll remember that day. I was a Sean Palmer. I was just teaching him how to lead souls. He's a big old guy. And a guy got right in my face. And nobody is going to mess with Palmer's preacher. You get this?
Yeah.
I thought, I almost had to tackle him. Don't you? I said, sir, I'm really sorry. I said, God does tell us you'll tell people about Jesus. And I said, that's all we're here for. I don't want to bother you. Well, then good. Get off my property. I said, fine. And I turned around. And Sean wanted to have him by the neck. And I thought he was going for it. No. Jesus never did that. Show me a place that Jesus did that. We are ambassadors to Jesus Christ. I should be the nicest and the kindest and the most gentlest person when I'm telling about people about Jesus Christ. Remember, a person convinced against his will is still the opinion, is of the same opinion still. Remember that. You can convince all you want, but deep down in his heart, unless the Holy Spirit gets a hold of them, you're wasting your time. So be gentle, be kind, be nice. When I knock on somebody's door, I am a guest. I should never be unpleasant. I should have the best attitude in the world when I'm out doing the greatest job God wants to do. Number 11, be complimentary. I'm always looking for something that somebody has done. I look at the garden and wow! Wow, what a beautiful garden! I've never had a garden like that. Boy, how did you do that? And then I'll get around telling him about the greatest one who ever made a garden. It's called the Garden of Eden. Hey, you want to hear about my favorite gardener? I'm looking. I'm looking to compliment. Boy, you got a beautiful house here. Now, I wouldn't say that to some people who got run down shack. You know, things are because they know I'm baloney in them. I'm going to be honest with them. I say, hey, man, that's a nice car. Wow, look at that motorcycle. How big is that thing? Wow. Boy, you driving a lot? Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, I like riding motorcycles. You do? Yeah, I got a couple Harleys. Yeah, you do? Yeah. Hey, we ought to go riding sometime. By the way, if you fell off that thing and died, which a lot of people do, where'd you spend eternity? I'm always looking. Got it? Always looking. You're always looking. You're always looking. You're always looking. Be complimentary. Number 12. Be careful about going in. I alluded to that before. I want to remind you, be careful about going in. Number one, unless you're asked to go in, don't go in. I've been with soul winners, no kidding, they put their foot in that door, and they barked their way in. I was talking to one preacher, and he said, you know, I said, I had this guy. He said, I was working on this family, and this family just kind of a little backy. They just kind of backed off a little bit. And the guy says, I'm going to go talk to him. Went talk to him and put his foot in the door and literally shoved himself in. And then his parents had given him a crucifix at their wedding. And then they got a crucifix from their grandmother's funeral, and they had him on the wall. And the guy says, that's pagan. You know, I like what Dr. Joe Mark says about Heritage Baptist Church. Brother Shear, every church has a gospel bug. You know what a gospel bug is, don't you? It's someone in your church that's always kind of a little weird, little... He says, man, you're infested. But anyway, you're not to do that. You're not to do that. I know one pastor will not let his people in his church visit people that have visited the church. He said, they ruin it so many times. That's not the way we're supposed to be. The Bible says we're to be peculiar, not weird. We're not to be obnoxious. You know, have you heard it? Some people jumped another man's treasure. That may be his treasure. Are you kidding me? Knocking somebody because of his... the cross, the crucifix, because of their wedding, and also one for their funeral for their grandmother. Are you out of your mind? It's none of your business. Be complimentary. Brag on things. Be careful about going in. Number 12. Unless they are asking you to come in, don't go in. You need to win them to you before you can win them to Christ. Number 13. Here's something most of us have a hard time. Be a good listener. I hope you're taking notes. Be a good listener. Listen, you know, people want to talk. They want to talk. A couple of years ago, a lady in the grocery store noticed this old guy coming in. He must have came in 5 or 6 times that day. And finally said, good night, sir. You ought to take a piece of paper and write down what you need. You keep coming in. He says, with tears coming down, my wife has passed. And I'm so lonely, I can't stand to be at home. And I just want to talk to somebody. Be a good listener. People have a lot of heartache and sadness. If you read Great Falls paper today, you'd be sick. Right. I mean, the front page. Obama wants your guns. They're going to take away your help. They're going to fire a whole bunch of people working on base. And on and on and on. I'm looking at this thing and said, man, I wish I would have even looked at that this morning before I came to church. Amen.
There wasn't one good thing on the front page. People want to talk to you. People want to talk to you about it. Hey, you be careful how you cuss your president, because the Bible said we're to pray for him. I'm not praying for him. That's the problem we're in today. We haven't prayed enough for him. Instead of praying for him, we cuss him. Did you know who the president or the king or the emperor was during the time of Paul, who Paul told us to pray for him? It was Nero. Nero's the guy that took Christians, wrapped them in rags, tied a string around them, dipped them in oil, lit them on fire, and that's how you could get to his palace. By Christian burning. Well, he's a friendly chap. Paul said, you pray for those who are in authority. So be careful what you do. People are going to talk about it. You don't have to, he's a dirty, rotten so-and-so. You don't have to do that. Just let them talk. I led my cousin's husband to the Lord last fall. My cousin was dying of cancer, and I went over to see his sister, and I had some pretty good conversation with him. Good guy. But all he wanted to talk about was tyranny and conspiracy theories and all kinds of stuff. I let him talk. And then he gave me the opportunity to talk. I just happened to have a New Testament in my back pocket. Did I tell you I always carry a New Testament in my back pocket? If you can get a Cambridge New Testament, you probably got the best. They'll last so long. I cannot find them. They don't make them anymore. But if you find a Cambridge New Testament, it'll last you a lot longer. I carry mine all the time, fishing, hunting, riding the bike, hunting, preaching, traveling. Got my Bible, amen. Be a good listener. Number 14. Already talked about that. We'll do it again. Only one person talk. Number 15. Stay on the subject. Stay on the subject. Someone will say, well, what about angels? My answer. Mr. Green, that is a great question. I'll be glad to answer that question. But first, let me show you this Bible verse. Everybody's got questions. Well, Pastor, what do you think about cremation compared to burial? That's a great question, Mr. Green. Let me show you this verse and I'll get back to you. I'll write that down, all right? We won't forget it. I promise you I'll answer that. Well, Pastor, what do you think about women preachers? Well, if they can be a husband and wife, I guess it's okay. Amen. But anyway, no, I won't say that. But on and on and on, you know. They'll pop in your questions and they'll try to get you on a chase of the rabbit trail. No, just stay on the stand. Sir, I'll get right back to you. Stay on the stay in the same book of your Bible. That's why we give you the Romans Road. Stay in the same book of the Bible. You don't want to be turning pages and turning over here and over there and over there. And sometimes we got young soul winners that don't know their Bible very well. I guarantee you, if you're going to be a soul winner, you'll learn your Bible, because there's going to be people going to ask you questions and you're not sure about it. And so then in the back of your Bible, you do like I do, you write down those lists. Well, what about a sign? I don't believe it. Can you show me a sign? Well, let me show you what the Bible says. The Bible says about a sign that says, only the hypocrite desire a sign. So do you need one? Oh, no, I don't need one. So write some things down in your back of your Bible. Okay? And then I asked you about baptism. You already got your Acts chapter 2 and verse 41 there. Stay in the same book of the Bible. This is why I said, Mr. Green, the Bible is like a library. Genesis tells us about creation. And Revelation tells about the end times, what's going to happen. Mr. Green, there's a book in the Bible that tells us about a man's soul. And that book is in Romans. And that's how you stay there. And draw a map, like I told you. Romans chapter 3:10. Underline and circle it. Number 17. Draw a map in your New Testament. Did I miss one for you? Stay in the same book. 16. 15. Stay on the subject. 17. Draw a map in your New Testament. Some people like to underline it. Some people like to circle it. You do what it works for you. Therefore, it gives you a map that you don't... Sometimes, have you ever been so in and all of a sudden you get all jittery and you get kind of jumpy and you get hyperventilating and everything? It's sure nice to have it there and say, well, this is what the Bible says, amen.
Huh?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Number 18, ask him or her, do you know... This is verse 18. This is number 18. Do you know if you were to die today, if you would go to heaven? Do you know if you go to heaven? Are you 100% sure about it, or do you doubt it? Man, I'm looking for it. Man, you know when you're fishing, boy, you get a little nibble. That's my nibble. That's when I'm feeling on it. Boy, I got me a real good fishing pole. It's a real good fishing pole. And I'll tell you, when them old walleyes are hitting, I can feel them sniffing it almost, you know. You all know what I'm talking about, don't you? Wow! I kind of fall like that, anybody. It just, choo, choo, choo. And then a walleye stops. And then all of a sudden he goes, and he starts going, and then you rip the lips off of him, amen. But you feel it. You just feel it, amen. This is what this is. Sir, if you die today, are you 100% sure, or you kind of have a doubt? Bang! Hallelujah! I've got one on, amen! Now, I'm real careful. I'm not going to lose them. I ain't going to pull them too hard. How many of you ever, my daddy said, don't horse it, boy, don't horse it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? How many of the fishermen in here? How many right with God, amen? All right, here we go. That old pole, made it, cranked it. And my daddy said, don't horse it, don't horse it. Boy, we used to call them, my daddy used to call them crappies. They're crappies, but anyway, they're still crappies. And I call my daddy Fappy, so he's a crappy Fappy, amen. And, boy, you can rip the lips right off them. Don't horse it. And when you're soul winning, don't get in a hurry. Don't horse them. Set the hook. Gently bring them in. Don't let any tension up. Don't let the tension up. Keep that line up. Keep that pole up. You fishermen know what I'm talking about, don't you? Keep that pole up. Well, I'll tell you what. You go up on Holler, and you get one of them 4-pound rainbows on there, and you just dip that pole one time, and they're gone. You got to keep the tension on them. How am I going to go fishing?
Yes.
No, not now. Next one, be appropriate. No, I'm just kidding.
Your voice there.
Now, here we go now. Draw a map, number 17. Number 18, ask him. 100% sure, doubt. Number 19, ask him, would you like to know? You have no right to tell a guy about it unless he's willing to listen.
Amen.
Got that? You don't get up there and yell and scream and hell, fire, and damnation. Bless God, you're going to split hell wide open if you... No. You're winning the soul. Ask him, would you like to know? And if he doesn't say anything, then this is what I ask him. Number 20, ask him, if I show you how you could know, would you do it? Number 21, always get the plan of salvation to him before you leave that house. How many have ever had somebody knock on your door and tell you about Jesus? Would you raise your hand? Okay, all right. Hold them up. Just hold them up. All right, I want you to look at this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 people. So that means when I come to your house and knock on your door, that's a special house. That's a special house. Ain't nobody else done that before. That's a special place. You'll probably be the only one that ever come to that house and tell them about Jesus. So make sure your visit counts. Well, I'm too busy right now. Well, can I pray for you? Sure. Dear God, I pray right now for, and I'll get their name, Joe. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that he would know you as a Savior. And dear God, I pray that he'd realize there's a heaven to go to and a hell to shun. And Joe, wouldn't you like to pray with me right now? Wouldn't you like to ask Jesus in your heart? For I'm telling you, many times. Many times right there they'll pray and ask Jesus in their heart. Hey, man. Hey, you know what? I believe the motto of the Marines, Kill them all and let God sort them out. You get what I mean? I'm going to try everything I can to win somebody but Jesus Christ. And if they don't get saved, I've been in the mission field. I've been up in Canada. We took a whole bunch of kids up to Canada, invited a whole bunch of kids to this, and I preached, and I gave the invitation. A whole bunch of kids coming, a missionary who got paid $4,000 a month from men and women and children from America was up there and had a church running about three, said to me, "Boy, I wish I could do that." I said, "What do you mean?" After I had encouraged him to tell somebody about Jesus Christ, he said, "Well, I believe that when you win people, you ought to disciple them." I said, "You know, I do too. But I'll probably never be up here again. And I'm going to get as many as I can while I'm here." I've been in the Philippines. We've had 6,200 saved. 6,200 saved in 2 weeks. And I wonder how many people there ever went back there. I know my friend Sam, he goes into churches and schools like that and preaches to them, but boy, wouldn't you rather, what about when Philip went out to the eunuch out in the Gaza Strip and led that man to the Lord, and the man went back to Ethiopia? Did he have much tree teaching? At least he won him to Christ. Hey, I'm serious about this thing. You can poo-poo me all you want, I don't care. God has given me a responsibility, the greatest responsibility of my life, while I am here, to win people to Jesus Christ. And if I don't do it, I don't do His command. I'm wasting His breath. I'm wasting His air that I'm breathing. I'm wasting the food He gives me and the water that I drink. I'm wasting that, not doing what God told me. I am here to be a soul winner, and so are you, whether you like it or not. Find some way to get to Romans chapter 3, verse 10. You're trying to find that way. Hey, you're trying to get them to 3:10. As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. Show him the sinner. Number 23. 22 is find him to get to 3:10, and then number 23 is to show him that he is a sinner. I'm a sinner. Then go to 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I love talking to Catholics because they're all sinners. Really? They've been taught that. You're a sinner. You need to pay for Mass so we can get some more money in our church. You need to come and come to confession and confess your sins. Well, they're sinners. They know it. They know it. Talk to a Baptist. I'm not a sinner. Well, you're a liar, and you just did. Number 24. Show him that there's a price for sin. There's a price for sin. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men for all sin. All of us are sinners. And we have a price to pay. 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. And I stop right there. For the wages of sin is death. You're going to die someday. The Bible says it is appointed unto a man once to die and then the judgment. You are going to die. You are going to pay for your sins. Now, you can pay for your sins, you go straight to hell. And burn there for all eternity. Where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Hell is not only a filthy and dirty place, it is a noisy, loud place. Can you imagine? Have you ever been around places just noise all the time? And you finally get out of that noise and it's quiet. I wear hearing aids. Some places just drive me crazy. I mean, just tonight, we'll go over to building number 2. That place drives me crazy. Still working on a way of camouflaging some of that noise. But when I get out, I can last about 30 minutes in there, and I'm ready to get out of that place. Can you imagine, for all eternity, all this noise? Fire makes noise. Screaming is noise. Grinding, gritting, and gnashing of teeth makes noise. Have you ever been around somebody who grits their teeth? It's driving me crazy. For the wages of sin is death. Show him that Jesus paid for that price. Romans 5:8. This is where you go back to Romans 5:8. But God commendeth, means to show of his love in an unusual and remarkable manner. It means he displayed it, or God exhibited it. What did he do? Died on the cross. He commendeth his love. It's an incredible word. Show him Jesus paid the price. And show them that either you pay the price or let him pay the price. In verse 20, in number 26, show him by faith he may be saved. 10:13. Number 26, show him by faith he may be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How hard is it to call upon the Lord? And many times I'll use the illustration of one time I was feeding the cattle on my dad's farm, and we had a bunch of cattle. We just bought a bunch of cattle, and they were calving, and we really didn't know the cows yet. And little cute little calf down there, and I was up in the hay. I was in the hay feeder. And I reached over and touched that little calf, and that little calf went bah, and the mother who had big horns went bah, and she came at me and climbed right into the thing, and I jumped and grabbed a hold of the hay mow, pulled myself almost up there. She could almost hit my feet with her horns, and she was going crazy. On the cartoons, you see the bulls, their eyeballs turn red. I'm telling you, they really do. She was blowing snot and bellowing, and I went, I couldn't yell. I was scared spitless. So I said, Dad! My dad came out there with a pitchfork and hit her on the south side, her going north, amen? I called upon my dad. And I said, that's exactly what you need to do. You need to call upon God to save your sorry soul. Amen. And show them by faith you're saved. Number 26, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then I go down to verse 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. 27, I review with him, one word review. Mr. Green, do you know if you died today, would you go to heaven? It doesn't matter what church you go to, as long as you trust in Jesus for your personal salvation. Then I said, would you like to pray? Would you like to pray? Well, I'm not sure. You want me to help you pray? Sure. And I'll say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And he'll say, God, be merciful. I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me my sins. I believe you died on the cross and rose on the third day. Come into my heart. Save me right now. And right then, I will say, will you take me in by the hand? And then I pray for him. And I ask him, according to the Word of God, if you would die tonight, where would you go now? I want him to tell me something. I want him to tell me he's going to heaven. And then I get him to try to tell other people. And number 32, I lead him to a public profession. I'll say this. Will you promise the Lord that next Sunday you make a decision for Christ public? The Bible said when you ask Jesus' heart, you will not be ashamed. No. Would you come to church Sunday morning? And I'll pick you up Sunday morning. I'll sit with you during church. And when church is over, the preacher's going to ask those who trusted Christ in person, I'll walk down the aisle and you can tell them about Jesus Christ. I don't go into baptism. I don't go into talking about getting baptized. That's for another time. That's for the preacher. That's for the soul winner up here. And then number 34, go by and get him. Number 35, sit with him in church service. Number 36, walk the aisle. He's your baby now. Ask him for meals. Hey, Adam. Way in the back. How many times I've taken you up? Pretty near every Sunday. You counting? I'm not counting. We're having a good time. I led Adam to the Lord in my house. And I want to be around him. He's my baby. He protects me, but he's my baby. All right. And I want to be around him. I want to be encouraging. I want him to, hey, you know what? He never missed the service all week. Yahoo! He was here every service. He's a busy man. They got two kids. They're busy. She goes to college on the internet. I mean, they're busy. But they were here every service. Singing in the choir now. She sang last Wednesday night. Woo! I like that singing. Yeah, what's the deal is? I hate telling him, but I just want to be around him. So I want him to be encouraged. I've given him books already. And I want him to be around. I want to be around him because I want to be around a meal time with him and coffee time, and I want to see him frequently. I want to call him up. I want to talk to him. We don't do too much of that because he's awful busy and during the day, but that's what we're supposed to do. So, question. Yes. Oh. Marcus is counting the light bulbs right now. Amen. Anybody got a question about? Yes.
Yeah. Two questions, please. One on the where you mentioned don't be pushy.
Don't be pushy. All right.
I understand that,
you understand that, but you just negated everything you said. But means naked. I don't believe anything you said about that. Anyway.
Negated because what the Bible says. What's the difference between pushy and what Paul says? And some as if by fire. That means there's an element of getting a little pushy there.
I'm talking about don't be ignorant.
Okay.
I can be pushy by saying, you know what? One of these days you're going to die. And you need to listen to me. Because one of these days you'll never get, if you die and go to hell, you'll never kiss your wife again. You will never know satisfaction again in your life. You will never see your baby. You'll never see your children again. And this is the most important thing in the world. And just give me a couple minutes. Instead of saying, why are you reprobate? Best God you're going to spit with. That's what I'm talking about. There's a difference between being concerned and having a desire to tell someone about Jesus Christ and then just be a plain idiot. And you're so heavenly minded, you ain't no earthly good. This guy may be sick. Or this guy may be taking care of somebody in that house and he doesn't have time. Or maybe he's got to go and he says, man, I can't talk to you. Meet it and say, hey, will you let me come back? And he says, yeah, go. I'm a busy man. Today something happened to me. A guy was talking to me, and all of a sudden something happened. I got a phone call. I had to make that phone call because I was waiting for that phone call because they had my wife. And when they called me and they had my wife, and I was in doing something I thought was very important, but when that phone call came on my phone and said, Pam Commodore, who had my wife, I answered her immediately. Well, I know, it was during my prayer time. Not, I don't want anything to get in my way of prayer time, but I have some responsibilities. Same way in people's houses. We all have responsibilities. We all have some kind of response. Something may be an emergency. There may be an emergency. And so when a person says, hey man, I can't right now. Thank you for coming. I say, you mind if I come back again? Pretty much they say, sure, I don't care. When you're walking out, get the name and the address of the place and then leave. If you give your phone number, maybe. I wouldn't give you my phone number, but no, serious. Maybe give you a phone number. Hey, can I call you? Can we have coffee? Hey, I'd like to buy you a Starbucks. How about it? Well, you talk about Starbucks to me, man. I'm in the car ready to go, amen.
Yeah.
Okay? Any other questions? Yeah, that's one question. Next question.
No, I'm
okay. Anybody else have a question? Listen, I want you to be comfortable about this. Everybody can do this. You say, but I'm so nervous and I'm not sure. You know what? I have talked to people when I first started sewing. I was so nervous, I could about puke. I was so nervous, I just knew. I knew they were going to ask me a question. I wasn't sure to answer. And when somebody says, you know, what about this? And say, you know, I'm not sure, but I'll ask my pastor and I'll get back to you. How's that? Or if you say, they'll say, why are you out here? Oh, my preacher makes me do it. Hey, use me for an excuse. I don't care. You know, I have people that I'm so nervous, my thing's shaking like this, and they put their hand on my head. Now, what'd you say? Now, read that again to me. People want to hear about Jesus. There are people out there that want to hear about Jesus. It's like World War II. I mean, not World War II, Civil War. There's a half-wit. You know what a half-wit is? He doesn't have all his wits with him. He's half. His elevator doesn't go all the way up to the top. He puts his sod green side down and puts the green side up. You know, one of those guys, you know. You met him. Somehow he got in the Army. He's a Yankee, of course. And they're all sitting around the campfire. And one of there's always somebody in the military is always trying to get people in trouble. Or teasing people. And he said, yeah, if you're a real man, you go out there and there's a whole bunch of Confederates out there and you go find them. You know what that guy did? He grabbed his musket, grabbed his hat, took off into the woods. 30 minutes later, 25 captives. And everybody just... And he got a award for it. And somebody said, where'd you find him? He said, man, the woods are full of them. Go out and get some yourself. And you know what? There are people like the Crabtrees and the Prices and the Furs and the Ortezes and the Merrills and the Hollies. They're out there and they need a church. And they need a God. And they need a Savior. They may be even infidels or maybe even atheists like Mrs. Hobbs. And someone tells them about Jesus Christ. And they get saved and you can't get rid of them. Amen? So that's why simple is you can figure out seven things you got to take care of. Really only needs one thing. Romans 3:10, and from Romans 3:10 you can go from there. Simple. Simple, 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 simple. Salvation is very simple. Believe in Jesus Christ. Believe you're a sinner. Believe you know you need a Savior. And find the Savior. Believe He died on the cross, rose on the third day. And call upon His name. You're saved. Tell me about the Buddhist religion. Is it that simple? You got to figure it all yourself. Even Buddha said, when he was dying, his people came to him and said, what are we doing? He said, you got to find Nirvana by yourself. Hinduism. With 1.5 million gods. How much? 33 million gods. I can't even remember my grandkids' name, let alone knowing 33 million gods. That's why when you go to Dubar Square over in Nepal, you'll find a place to the unknown God. Because you know why? They're not sure they got them all. Salvation is so simple in Christ. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Not too much to have to remember, amen? Believe that you get saved through faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone. There's no other name that a man can be saved except Jesus Christ. That really screws up the Arab boys that are Muslims when we say there's no other name. And they say, what? There's no other name. And even Muhammad wrote in their book passages of the Bible. Therefore, the Bible was there before that Quran was there. You understand that? tell something about Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this. A man is dying. He just was in a terrible car wreck. He can still talk. He screams out, "I'm going to burn in hell!" And you say, "Sir, can I show you what the Bible says and you won't have to burn in hell?" He said, "Yes, tell me quick, I'm dying!" Could you tell him? It happens. It happens. But not very often. Usually they die and go into eternity without anybody there to tell them about Jesus Christ. This Great Falls area, Cassie County, how many people knocked on your door and said, "Hey, let me ask you a question. If you die today, go to heaven." It don't happen. No Mormons have come to your door. Jehovah's Witnesses have come to your door, but they won't. What in the world? We got the truth and the life. Simple. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. All of us are sinners. Because we sin, we'll pay a terrible price. Jesus Christ paid the price for it. Would you ask Him to come in your heart? Pretty simple. Isn't that simple? Let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray tonight that we'd be a real church and we'd believe what the Bible says. Dear God, I pray that this altar will be filled tonight saying, "I'm going to try that." Well, I used to do it, but I'm going to get back at it. Dear God, I pray that You'd speak to our hearts. Open our hearts to the Word of God today. Lord, this is the greatest thing a Christian can do. If it's the greatest thing a Christian can do, number one, Satan is going to be after us. But number two, it's going to be the blessing of God upon us when we do. God said we'll be precious in His sight when we tell others about You, like stars of the sky. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's all stand. You're here tonight and say, "Preacher."